Well, good morning. We're going to look at verses 9 to 11 of the passage just read. So let's just read that again together. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Oh, what have you done? You've taken away my one. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. Can we pray together, please? Almighty God, I pray that your word will come forth by your power this morning. Enable me to preach. Lord, give your people hearing ears, not to hear the word of me, but Lord, may your spirit indeed grant, Lord, your hearers that discernment. Speak to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Light, darkness, love, hate. One of the chief complaints that I've heard from many people when it comes to Christianity is that it's too either or. It's black and white, too absolute, to take it or leave it. You'll get people that will say, how can Christianity say you're either saved or you're lost? And yet look at our text today. We have a perfect example of the black and white simplistic approach to life that the Bible presents us. In our text, notice we have two conditions mentioned: light and darkness. And everybody, it's clearly assumed, is either in the light or they're in the dark. Notice we have two states of mind: love and hate. Orge, misosis. John tells us that there are those in the light who love and those in the darkness who hate. This is the gist of what John is saying here. Now, I know you're all capable of understanding these words. They're not hard to understand in English. But do you believe what we read here? I'm convinced that there are many people who struggle to really believe what we find in our text today. To many people, the idea of light, darkness, hate, love is too simplistic. I mean, what about people that are not in the light, but they're nearly in the light? What about people who don't hate or love with any real passion at all? John's words seem to dichotomize. They're too simplistic. I mean, how can you divide the world into lovers and haters? Those in the light and those in the darkness. Isn't it too simplistic? Well, Christ himself drew up the same dichotomy. Remember in the Gospels, Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You either gather with me or you scatter. Jesus says, you've got to pick your side. In fact, on Judgment Day, Jesus says, every single human being who's ever existed will stand on that day on one side of the judge, left or right, and they'll be categorized either as sheep or goats, the forgiven or the condemned. All of humanity will be labeled either one or the other. You see, as far as the Bible is concerned, there are only two types of people in the human race. Those in the light and those in the darkness. Those who love agape and those who hate. As far as God is concerned this morning, God does not care about your racial, your ethnic, your cultural, your linguistic, your national identity. It means nothing to God. God doesn't care what color you are, what language you speak. He sees each and every one of you right now as either being a sheep or a goat, a lover or a hater. You're either in the light or you're stumbling in the darkness. Now you may feel, but that's too narrow. I mean, surely life is more complex than that. You can't just label everybody in the world saved or lost. Surely it's more complex, more complicated. And you know, I can sympathize with you here. I know that there are many people who are not 100% in the light. But they're pretty close to the light. Do we write them off? There are some people that might be 95% light, but then 5% out. They may not be perfect, but hey, they're not that bad. I know people that don't hate. Well, they don't hate or love with passion. How can I just write them off as haters? People in the real world are much more complicated than just one thing or the other, aren't they? Isn't it being judgmental? And many people say this. To put everybody in the world in one of two categories. Simplistic, judgmental, divisive. How can the gospel put every single person in a box and label them saved, lost, darkness, light, lover, hater? I'm sure you'll agree when you look around you, it doesn't seem to be that simple. Life is not as black and white as that. People may not be completely in, but they're certainly not completely out. And surely it's wrong for us Christians to dichotomize when we preach the gospel. Do you feel like that sometimes? Don't be fair. I mean, think of loved ones you have that aren't Christians. Do you like it when they're labeled goats, lost in the darkness, haters of God? You know, for many years, I felt very strongly about this. Even as a theological student, I was rather liberal when I was a student. And I felt that I couldn't bring myself to accept that there were only two types of people in this world. The saved and the lost. Surely there were gray areas. Surely there was room for negotiation and compromise. Well, I felt that way Until one day it dawned on me why this dichotomy must be true. And here you have to please hear me. Why is it black and white when it comes to the gospel? Now listen, if you don't accept what I say today, I'm going to speak boldly, then you don't really accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a watered down version. Let me tell you why it's important that you believe there is the saved and the lost and nothing in between. Listen, life is not black and white. Life is complicated. It's complex. But what about death? What about life and death? Now you've got to hear this. If I saw a dog in the road, lying there, and I asked you, is that dog dead? Would it be right for you to say, well, he's a little bit dead. He's quite dead. He's deadish, but he's getting better. What would that mean if a dog is a little bit dead? If it's quite dead, it's not dead, it's alive. Because when it comes to life and death, there's nothing in between. If you're almost dead, you're alive. Would you agree with me? Would it be narrow of me to say, of all the dogs that have ever existed, there's only two kinds, dead dogs and living dogs? Would you agree? Could I take that a bit further? Of all people who have ever lived, there's only two kinds, living people and dead people. Would you agree? Sorry, I'm really struggling here. I think I'm going to go down to that bottom pulpit. Are you with me so far? I haven't thrown you yet. Right, now, John is writing here in a life and death context. And many people don't seem to understand this. They get upset when you say, well, people are saved or they're lost. You say, but what about all the people that are quite nice? What about all the people that are 75, 85, 90% in the light? You can't be a little bit dead or a little bit saved. You're a lover or a hater. You're in the light or you're in the darkness. And in this life and death way, John tells you, if you love your brother, you're in the light. And if you hate your brother, you're stumbling in the darkness. John is assuming that every person who reads these words understands the life and death context in which it is written. There's no compromise when it comes to life and death. But you may say, what about those who don't fall into either category? What about people who don't really particularly love or particularly hate? What about people in the middle? In fact, we know people, don't we, all of us, who we love very much, who aren't bad people. They're in the middle. They don't hate anyone, particularly. Maybe you have loved ones who are not Christians. They may not love the brethren, but they don't hate the brethren either. They don't hate anyone, it seems. Can we just write them off and assign them to the darkness and label them as haters? Well, let me now, from this passage, explain just how vitally true this passage is, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. Remember, we came here to hear God's word this morning and not simply to be entertained. Well, I'm certainly not entertaining you, am I? So maybe I better have something worth saying. There are two key words in our text. Two key words and two shadow words. Two words that stand in shadow to the key words. The words light and love are the key words. The shadow words are light and darkness. Now, in the context of 1 John, please keep in mind, what is light? Can you tell me? Do you remember chapter 1? Let's go there quickly. 1 verse 5, chapter 1 verse 5. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. What does God mean when he talks about phos, light? He's talking here about the glorious being of God. Now, if you are not in the presence of God, in whom there is no darkness at all, where does that put you? If you're outside of the light, what are you in? The darkness. Darkness simply means the privation, the absence of God's light here. Now, you may be a very nice person. Maybe you don't smoke or drink or swear or gamble, all those horrible things. But if you're not in the light, which is God, if you're outside of the light, where does that put you? Now, if there's only one God, and if there's only one light, where does that put every single person in the world who is not in God's light? Come on, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. What is it? Outside of the light, the privation of light is darkness. It's not narrow-minded. It's not commenting on your behavior or your decency. You're in the light or you're in the darkness. Here's a more complicated one, though. The word love, agape. In 1 John, what is love? Well, look to chapter 4, verse 8. We're clearly told what love is. God is love. God is ontologically the triune embrace of divine love. And this is what God is talking about here. Now, if you're not found participating in the love of God, if you're found outside of God's love, what does that make you? Listen, hatred in the Bible is the privation of love. The absence of love. Please understand this. Hatred is to love here what light is to darkness. Do you understand that? You may be a kind, generous, compassionate person, but if you're outside of God's love, you're a hater. Hatred in the Bible often means the absence of love. Can I give you an example? Romans chapter 9, Paul writes, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now you understand God doesn't hate with a passion, does he? John Gill explains it this way. In the Bible, the hatred of God is not a passion, but an evasion. If you're inside love, you're outside of hatred. If you're outside of love, you're in the practice of hatred. And this is how we're to understand God's word today. God is light. Everybody outside of the light is obviously in darkness. God is love. Anything not touched in the participation of that love is categorized hatred. Do you know what this means? It means that every one of you here today is either in the light or standing in the darkness. Every one of you here. There's no consolation prizes. There's no bronze or silver medals here. You either get a gold or you're a loser. You're in the light or the darkness. You love or you hate. In the biblical sense, there's a line drawn and there's no compromise. Now, that may offend many people, and I know it does, but this is clearly what the Bible teaches. There's no middle ground, no sitting on the fence, no neutrality. Do you think it's unfair? Do you think that maybe I've misunderstood the Bible here or misread it? Well, let me explain it in picture language. The gospel is typified in the Old Testament in a place in Genesis telling us about the flood of Noah. You all know the story. Now, think about this. When the floods came down in the day of Noah, there were only two types of people, weren't there? Those who were saved, all eight of them in the ark, they were saved. And then there were those who were lost, who drowned. Probably a couple of million of them. Now, I'm sure there were decent, respectable, religious, home-loving, patriotic people who were outside. But the question was not to do with whether they were almost good or quite good. They were either in or they were out. Here's a question. If you miss the train by half a minute, or you miss the train by an hour, which is worse off? Well, they're in the same boat, aren't they? They've missed the train. We need to realize the dichotomy of light, darkness, hatred and love in the Bible is absolute. You're Christ's or you're cursed. And we have to preach this, otherwise we preach a false gospel. The thing is, if God is light, anything and everything outside of the light is darkness, no matter how attractive or appealing or reasonable it may seem. If God is love, everything not participating in that love is hatred, regardless of what you may say. We need to realize with that dichotomy, we've got a lot to lose and a lot to gain. We're not going to be popular, but we have to preach this dichotomy, this splitting in half between the sheep and the goats. There's nothing in the middle. As I said, no bronze or silver medals here. When it comes to judgment day, you'll get a gold or you'll get nothing. Let's pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this message has got through. Oh, Lord, we realize, Lord, you use sometimes pathetic and weak instruments to bring your message, but I pray for the power of this message to convict your children. Oh God, in these days of compromise, may we realize, God, we must be in the ark or otherwise we're out. Please help us to preach light and love and oppose it to the darkness and the hatred that's outside of that. For Christ's sake, amen. Then let's pray. Father, please help us to understand, Lord, this absolute dichotomy you've faced us with. We're alive or we're dead. Oh, Father, help us not to use silly excuses. All other ground, no matter how noble and impressive, is sinking sand. Please help us to tell our loved ones, Lord, they must be in. Help us not to compromise this in these days of compromise. For Christ's sake, amen.